Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have upcoming events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello, welcome back to our Lake Life Weekend podcast. We are already in week 17 of this year, and Lake Life is coming to its fullest. Well, I guess we cannot go swimming yet, but I see most of the docks and lifts are in. A lot of I already saw people jet skiing last week, so some brave people out there. Of course, fishing. Actually, I haven't seen too many fishermen out. Yeah, I don't. I see them pull their boat, but yeah, it's getting nice out, and it's actually it's amazing. I don't know if you were in Lakes Country this past weekend. It was in the 70s, and it was just nice. So yeah, looking forward to the next weekend, and we'll fill you in what's coming up here in Lakes Country. Also, stay tuned, please, for our interview guest. We have Dusty Ebersweiler from Trowbridge Creek Zoo here by Virgis in the interview section today, and it's really interesting to learn about what he has been doing there for the past year. So stay tuned, please. Well, now I would like to share some news again with you that we picked up this this past week for you. There has been an artist that is taking repurposing to a new level by starting a clothing business. So if you wander around the Detroit Lakes, you may want to check out Vintage and Vogue Boutique. Artist Sharon Triglef Jones has been repurposing for years, and now her lifetime hobby has turned into a business. It started as a young girl finding materials with her family to turn into something new. She has made many different items, but specifically jewelry. She has drawn to flashy, stackable styles and used the same ideas when starting her clothing production. Sharon has a large supply of sweaters. She takes along to about 10 shows a year and is now selling her clothing at Vintage and Vogue Boutique, and has a display in Detroit Lakes Library as well. Go to our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and you'll find some more about that. Also, some news from Park Rapids here. Fuller's Tackle Building tore down for new development in Park Rapids. That hurts my soul, because I read that history began in 1885 when Frank Fuller started with a hardware store, and later in 1913 Earl Fuller took over the business, and in 1930 the transition began and the store went into the fishing tackle business. The tackle shop went on to serve the community in hunting and fishing gear for 60 years before it was closed. Yeah, the well-known Fuller's Tackle Building has been torn down for a new commercial development. Let's hope they will do something nice in Park Rapids there. Another item: Area Photographer exhibits at Pelican Library. That's Pelican Rapids. Area Photography Penny Myers will have her photographs on display the month of April and May at the Pelican Library. Her photos showcase the beauty of nature in Lakes Country, any outdoors from the lakes, wildlife, and flowers. She also exhibits at the Red Door Art Gallery in Wahpeton. There's a little article on our site here that will link to the press release. Yeah, maybe something for rainy days. I really love art, and I probably will check that out too. A destination that we want to point out here, Richwood Winery. Richwood Winery is located just 10 miles north of Detroit Lakes on a 9-acre property overlooking Buffalo Lake. We have a winery in the area. Yep. The story began with a wine lover's dream to create a place where people can come together and visit over a glass of wine. That wine lover is owner Penny Aguirre. She opened Richwood Winery in 2007, so 10-year anniversary this year, and has been making wine since. The winery has events throughout the season that will be posted on our event page. Keep this destination in mind to visit the next time you're in Lakes Country. And funny part, I was there one day, just stopping through, looking into that establishment, and the server, the lady that helped there, she was from Germany, like me. And we had a conversation, and she immediately started speaking German. That was kind of fun. So anyhow, some international there too. And yeah, I think I will stop by again. Yeah, events. Something for the kiddos. Detroit Lakes 7th Annual Bike Rodeo will take place this Saturday, April 29th, from 9:30 till 11:30. The annual bike rodeo in Detroit Lakes is a free event for all. The complete rodeo for a chance to win a new bike. It's located at the Kent Freeman Arena in Detroit Lakes. So the idea is, and they spoke at my Rotary Club even a little while back, so it's actually for child safety, going through some parkours, some challenging roads, strips, and then also to check the bike's safety-ness, or how you want to say it. So they will check your bike if it's safe enough to go on a ride. So I think that's a really great event. I want to promote that. I have an eight-year-old son, so if you have a little child and it's just getting into biking, so yeah, take advantage of that when you're around. And then a couple more events. You know, I like the event parts of life. Friday, there's Motion with Post-Traumatic Funk Syndrome. I've heard about those guys a couple times, and they must be really popular in the area. They will perform. It's the annual fundraiser for the arts. Food raffles, games, live auction, and music from 6:30 p.m. till 10:30 p.m. And that will all take place at the Holmes Historic Theater at Summit Avenue in Detroit Lakes. So something, I'm not sure if they're sold out yet, but if you're still available, that's Friday. And then we have a smoking amp DJ at Holiday Inn at the lake, on the lake, sorry. Not sure, I assume we will be having the dancing shoes on, and with the smoking amp DJ, we will call it a night. I think, what does it say here? It starts at 9. It's from 9 till midnight. Well, I don't know. I will start dancing at midnight. Maybe I should just... well, maybe we see each other there. And then, if it's a rainy day on Saturday, there's also something... oh, you have little kids. We were there once, a few years ago. The Red River Valley Model Train Show will exhibit or showcase their model train on Saturday. Oh, it's actually Saturday and Sunday at the Washington Square Mall. Saturday it's 10 to 5 p.m. and Sunday it's noon to 5 p.m. It's free admission. It's kind of cute. It's a small little display. But if you have a little child, I think that's definitely a destination to go to. So yeah, this was our news update and event schedule. All details always at lakelifeweekend.com. If you have questions or if you want to actually share an event with us, feel free to send it to us, hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and then we will include that in our little section here. Well, and now let's listen to our interview. Enjoy. Hi, this is Dirk. I'm in Virgis at the Lake Life Lounge here, and today I'm meeting with Dusty Eberswiller, and he's from the area, and he will tell a little bit about his project that he had going and working on for a while. And he opened a zoo last year.
Correct.
By Virgis.
Yep.
It's called Trowbridge Creek Zoo.
Yep.
And I always see the sign, and the little, you probably have seen it, a little sun rise over a creek.
Yep.
With a camel, and yeah, welcome, Dusty.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about you. Are you originally from Virgis?
Yeah, I grew up right here in Virgis, right where the zoo is, really. That's where I grew up. Yeah, my folks are dairy farmers, you know.
Oh, the dairy farm to the left of
right,
it?
Right to the west, yep.
To the west, that's your family's farm?
Yep.
And how old are you?
I am, let's see. 32 right now.
32. Okay, you're a pretty young zoo owner. I don't
know.
Yeah,
yeah. Young entrepreneur is.
Young entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So interesting. So you are a farm child, a dairy farm. How many cows did you have there?
They're still milking 170.
170 cows.
Yeah.
And you grew up with animals since you were a toddler.
Yep. I mean, obviously, farm animals all my life, and then it was when I was 15, I started with my first whitetails as a hobby.
Oh, you were raising whitetails?
Yep.
with the age of 15.
Yep.
So that's when your passion for...
Before I could drive, yeah.
Before you could drive, you were... Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see. So, I was going to ask this. So, you grew up with animals. You have a passion for animals.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit... whitetail. So, from the hunting... Interesting. So, what kind of animals did you have before? Did you have a dog and a cat, too?
Yeah, dogs and cats and... All that. Nothing real exotic besides that.
But, okay. Yeah. And then how long have you... So with 15, did you ever have a dream, I want to own a zoo?
It wasn't right away at 15. It was probably, you know, 6 or 7 years early. I don't know. I'd say when I was 20.
When you were 20, how did you come up with the idea to own a zoo? Define a zoo. What is a zoo to you?
Zoo? A zoo to me would be basically a collection of animals. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be government owned. It can be privately owned. It's, you know, just a assortment of.
Do you know anything about the history of zoos? I know a little bit. I claim to know. The first zoos, how did that all come about?
Not exactly. I guess not.
Okay, I think.
Tell
I
me.
Heard, yeah, tell, yeah, exactly. I'm the know-it-all kind of guy.
Perfect.
good. Yeah, right. But I thought back in the days, the kings, like, I don't know, 300 years, 400 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I think they brought back from their travels exotic animals.
And okay.
It was something like a tiger. I guess he got a gift or something. And I think those royal zoos, like in the Viennas or in the Londons or in the Parises, I believe they were kind of a collection of exotic animals to be exposed. I don't even know if they were public yet. I think they were more for the leaders. So anyways, interesting. I just thought of that because you said collection. So you have a passion for animals and you want to rather nurture them. So you collect animals, living animals, not mounted animals. So you collect living animals. And how many animals are in your collection?
Right now we are between 35 and 40 species.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of animals, and they're all in cages? No fish, no aquariums? So
we avoid the word cages, but enclosure.
Enclosure?
Yeah.
Good
pen, point. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, you're right. So they have their rooms...
Yep.
Their environments and 35 species. Are they all local species?
No, we have, let's see, a lot of African stuff.
Okay.
Let's see, Australian, Asian.
Just name a couple of animal species. Do you have a tiger?
Nope, no tiger. Okay. We do have bobcats.
That's
local. Tundra wolves.
Okay.
Which are, they're actually more... I want to say Russia, northern Russia up there. Coatimundis, which is a South American raccoon.
Okay.
A kinkajou, which is another South American animal. Reeves muntjac deer. It's the smallest deer in the world. They're from Asia.
Yeah.
Japanese sika deer.
Okay.
Red kangaroos, Australia.
Uh-huh.
Eastern gray kangaroo, also Australia.
Okay.
What else do we got? Fallow deer, which are European.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got some elands, which is the largest antelope species in the world from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Some scimitar horned oryx.
You have quite a few larger breeds. So how big is the zoo?
Right now, we have about 10 acres established.
Uh-huh.
We had another 30 we're planning on developing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're just getting started.
So you're only a quarter. Wow, so that's a large environment.
Yeah.
And how free walking or how much space, I mean, 10 acres, you just said that, but
yep.
A enclosure, a room for the animal, how big must that be?
Well, like the hoofstock, they got, you know, it's like 100 by... 150 large outdoor area.
Okay.
Some of the smaller animals that don't need a big space, it's like 12 by 16.
Okay.
You know, and and we get them out now and then, do some educational stuff with them. And
oh, so you take them out of the, do you have like a roaming area for them?
Yeah, we got, like right now, a lot of the cold climate animals are still in the barn.
Ah.
And so, yeah, they all still have their own paddocks or pens.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we'll let them out and have a run at it, so to speak, you know, okay. Indoors and whatnot.
So they're not just hold hostage, but you work them.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You train them, you said training even.
Train them, yeah. We do a little bit of educational stuff with them sometimes. You know, we've been to some schools before. And
really? Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating. I'm totally fascinating. I'm just listening.
Yeah.
So,
that's kind of a, you know, in the summer, yeah, we're full-time zoo, but in the off-season, you know, we do some educational stuff and, you know.
So it's a passion, a hobby, a passion, a collection, and it's your life.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. I always, like, when I drove by, and I think that's actually really interesting, I just thought, I'm not necessarily, okay, I'm from Germany, and we're always critical, and we always think poor animals, mm-hmm. okay? So I'm just like, oh. And I said cage, and you corrected me.
Yeah.
So I like that. I think that's really good information because you don't just bought some animals to showcase them and make a buck of it. No, it's
right.
Your personal collection
yep.
that you work with, you engage with. It's all your life, year round.
Yep.
And you treat them accordingly because you love them or care for them, let's say,
right.
at least.
Yep.
And that's a really different approach. So it's not just like an economical business approach, hey, I want to make a zoo and make money off it. No, I allow my collection to be public
mm-hmm.
in order to somewhat fund it. So you actually
right.
subsidize to have it public only because it costs you way more than you can probably make from entry fees, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah. So wow. So you started breeding, and I suppose you started collecting with the age of 15, not having a vision for a local zoo.
Right.
Now that all evolved into it, and the past 6 years you have been working, I assume you need licensing and all kinds of things?
Yeah, there's let's see, 3 different licenses we have.
Uh-huh.
The main one is a USDA exhibitor's license.
Yeah.
Which, you know, any other zoo you go to has to have, any other person displaying animals has to have. So
yeah.
we buy by the same rules as Fargo Zoo or Wahpeton Zoo. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So is it kind of like an accreditation then? Or something like that?
It is a license.
Okay.
You can kind of look at it as like, you know, restaurants, they got health inspectors that
sure.
come in twice a year, check things out. It's kind of like that, you know.
Okay.
They can come in, you know,
and
basically
check
whenever they want, and we show them around and
they see that the animals are treated well.
Yep, they check.
So it's highly regulated, and we don't need to fear that any animal is mistreated.
Right. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Actually, okay. And it took you 6 years or 5 years at least to get this off the ground. As a public accessibility.
No, I just probably a couple years.
Okay.
But you know, it's been in the back of my mind for several years. But
mm-hmm.
Back in 2015, That was when I decided, okay,
we gotta
make something of this, you know.
And how many, like, so what was your goal? How many people did you expect to arrive, to enjoy, and how many came last season?
That's the funny thing. My goal was 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically I went off, you know, some of my other friends have zoos, you know, like up in Bemidji. Bemidji's
okay.
Population is 13,000.
Yeah.
And my friend up there, she gets 15,000 people. So
okay.
I went off Detroit Lakes, 8,000 people. Okay, let's say 10,000 people.
Okay.
And we were right there at 10,000, you know,
really?
Give or take.
Yeah.
You know, a few, but yeah.
How long is the season? Open May through November?
Well, yeah, this year we're going to start weekends on April 29th.
Yeah.
We'll do weekends until Memorial Day weekend, and then we'll be 7 days a week all summer long till Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And then going into the fall, we'll go back to weekends. And
okay. And weekends are Saturday, Sunday, or Friday as well.
Saturday, Sunday. Yep.
Sure. Yeah, weekend. Okay. So math, my strength, May, June, July, August, September, and Memorial Day is September?
No. Labor Day is September.
Okay.
Memorial Day is end of May.
End of May, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. What is in October then, when we shut everything down?
Halloween at the end of the month.
Yeah. Okay. So
I mean,
roughly 6 months.
Right.
So half of the year, it's open to the public.
Yep.
Okay, so in 6 months, you had 10,000 people go through.
Yep.
That's almost 1,800 people a month. Well, that was busy.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah, and I'd say our busiest day was 300 people.
Wow.
Weekends, you know, we'd always have 100. And weekdays would vary from 20 to 100.
So it really became a destination and people enjoyed it?
Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing is we still got people that don't know about us, you know.
Yeah.
I was in Deal last week and wrote a check out, you know, and it's got Trowbridge Creek Zoo on it. And the lady's like, where's this at? Down by Vergas. I never heard of you. It's like,
well, good for you.
Well, yeah.
So we have another 10,000 at least.
Yeah.
12,000 come this
year.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
But so I assume the majority of the visitors, guests were with family, right?
Yep. Children? Yep. So, typically, you could say soccer moms with kids, you know, or moms with kids, you know.
Yeah. No, I was just laughing, soccer moms. So they came as an activity in the summer.
Yep.
For example, I mean, it's outdoors, almost nothing better. It's educational. Mm-hmm. Do you have signs, and is it educational? Do you have tours? Do you give little programs?
No, we don't do private tours yet. You know, we got zookeepers all around.
Okay.
So usually, like, if we're feeding something, if we're feeding the African porcupines, you know, we'll grab a stray quill for them for a guest nearby or something, you know, or talk about the animal and whatnot.
Okay.
So it's a random educational.
We have signage.
Yep.
A little display.
Yep. Every exhibit has a sign, you know, a picture of the animal, says a little bit about them, where they're from and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Really interesting. So 10 acres. So how many phases are to come? So because from 10 to 30 acres, are you having phase 2 open this year? How is that developing?
Yeah, like you could say right now we're in phase 1.
Yeah.
Phase 2 I'm going to be working on throughout the summer.
Yeah.
And then so that should be ready to open next summer.
Okay, in 18.
Yep.
So 17 is building phase for phase 2.
Yep.
To be open in the spring of 18. And then is this an additional 10 acres? Is it like doubling the size?
Yeah, it'd be approximately 10 acres more, yeah.
Okay, so okay, that's good. And then comes with that more species, or is it just more room for the current?
More species, yep.
Okay, so we're growing also in exhibition content.
Yep, like part of it, we have a pond on the property.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to build a pier going out to the middle of it. And we're going to have, you know, a bunch of waterfowl, swans, geese, Australian black swans, and then some like koi fish in the pond and whatnot that you can feed and all that stuff. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
I love ponds. I think I built my first pond. That's why I'm so happy in Lakes Country, I think, although I'm not a Minnesotan by birth, but I built my very first pond age of 5, and I converted my sandbox into a pond. That was just like, I love water. I'm just like a water rat. And there was a big toad in it one morning when I went to, and I thought it was a leaf, and I touched it, and it jumped at me. And in my memory, it was like as big as my head. Probably it wasn't, but okay, so you have a pond coming with koi fish. I love goldfish and koi, mm-hmm. and so interesting. And then swans, mm-hmm. and so that's coming in 18.
Yep.
Okay, and then we are 20 acres. And is it then we double again from 20 to 40, or do we have always like, do we have 4 building phases of 10 acres each? What's the future?
That's kind of unknown, you know. We kind of just build as we go.
Sure.
But another part of this summer is it's fencing in the entire 40 acres. So I'll have the perimeter fence done, and that way, you know, we'll actually be able to add a lot quicker, you know.
Understood.
More hoofstock pens and whatnot.
Is there also some woods, some trees?
Yeah, I would say probably about 15 acres of it is wooded.
Nice.
Yeah, and we got part of that already. Phase 2 will be the rest of the woods and the pond, and adding some more trails throughout it. And,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, what I guess the state parks do part of it, but and bird watching is a big thing. But I grew up walking trails and woods, not private woods, and we have a lot of public lands and groomed trails. And
mm-hmm.
when I was younger, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Sundays. It was the Sunday walk. So we went somewhere and we walked through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, and I like so the I can see the zoo with some trails, because you can learn a lot in the woods. I mean, there's so much going on, from like bugs or like a little crawling, and the ecosystem.
Yeah.
How it all works, and the leaves that fall down, because we are such a nature state.
Yeah.
I just see it super natural, or not necessary. I think it's natural for us to engage and learn about it. So I always ask about education, not just. I really ask a lot of questions, to be honest, and this know-it-all always comes from that. I think I always ask and learn something. But yeah, so going to a zoo, I expect something back, not just looking at an animal, but I
learn
expect,
something about it. Yeah,
learn something about it, read something about it. So yeah. I can hear that's good, and I'm excited about that wooded area where it's not just a tundra wolf, or it's not just a kangaroo, which is also, I think, more in a hot climate, right? They live in
Australia,
yep. and more in a desert-y area environment. So now on the polar side, we have the shaded area with the woods, and
mm-hmm.
it's interesting. So yeah, there's lots to come. You said you have keepers. Do you have employees there then?
Yep, we got during the summer months, we got about half a dozen.
Really?
Going on, yeah.
That's quite an operation.
Yeah.
I totally underestimated that. Yeah, fascinating. So, yeah, what do you want to share? Is there anything you want to share about animals, or in general, like being a young entrepreneur, following a passion, or...
That's a big question, really.
Yeah, no, I'm just throwing it out there while we have this conversation.
Let's see. I don't know. I always had in the back, you know, in high school, you know, every teacher would say, you know, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. So
that's what
I just kind of took that to heart, and you know, I love animals, so why not?
I like
have
that
as a business, and
yeah. No, I agree. You always want to do what you love, what you're passionate about, because then it's not work, then it's enjoying something.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So that's interesting. So you became to a zoo director.
Yeah.
To become a zoo director and a zoo owner by following your passion, and it helps you make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, fascinating. I think we answered a lot of my questions driving by all the time. And mm-hmm. I think if you don't know where the zoo is located, it's on Highway 17.
Yep, on Highway 17. Everybody knows where Seven Sisters Spirit is.
Yeah, you take it. Yep.
So between there and Virgus.
It's right 17. In the middle, right? So
yep, right in the middle.
Highway 59, Seven Sisters Spirits. You head to Virgus. There's even a sign going to Virgus,
yep.
leading to Virgus. And then by Trollbridge Lake, that's the North Lake access there. Or not access, but like to the properties.
Yep.
There's this, and right there. And there's big signage on Highway 17. You probably won't miss it. Do you have a website too?
Yep.
Just Trowbridge.
TrowbridgeCreekZoo.com.
Yeah.
We got a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can check us out on. That's where we post most of our updates.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the most current.
And some pictures, and people can see what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot, and I'm pretty sure I will go there sometime with my son, Harry. 8 years old, we pass it a lot, and actually friends of ours on Trowbridge Zoo, they purchased a season ticket.
Okay.
Oh, you have season tickets too, don't you?
Yeah, yep.
So you have a family entrance and then a season pass. How much is a season pass?
Individual are $40.
Okay.
Basically for 4 trips, it pays for itself.
Yep.
And then we are going to do, we haven't figured it out yet, but we're going to do some, you know, like family of 4 pass or whatever, something like that. But
it's definitely worth it, and I am sure I bring Harry there, and I hope to see you again.
We're good.
So
yeah,
thank you very much for coming today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Have a good season start, and good luck with the building phase 2 this year, and then talk to you soon.
All right. Yep, thanks Dirk.
Well, thanks again for tuning in for Lake Life Weekend 17. And we hope you enjoyed our insights. We hope you enjoyed the news and updates and everything you learned in our interview with Dusty. Well, visit our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a great weekend.